I want you to take your Bibles with me for just a moment, and we'll begin. We're going to begin in the book of Hebrews. And I said to Pastor Mitchell, it was okay, we're not going to stay long in Hebrews. We're just going to start in Hebrews, and then we're going to take off back to the book of Exodus. But we'll probably finish up in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's just pray, shall we? Our Father and our God, we do thank you that, Father, we can count on you. And Lord God, we do look forward to that day when we can be with you in glory. And Lord, we thank you that we will know you. But more than that, Lord God, you know us. And Lord, you know all about us. Father, you know those that are redeemed. Father, we thank you for the shed blood at Calvary. Father, we thank you that we can continue. We can come to the throne, and Lord, we can receive your grace. And Lord, we ask for that this evening. Lord, as we consider your word, Father, we just pray that your spirit would indeed be our teacher. Open it to us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read verses 1 and 2. We read, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We can see here that we are in a race. It's a very, when you think about it, there's several different sorts of races that you can run in. Some races are sprints, some races are marathons, and some are in between. But I would like to put to you that this race is none of the above. In fact, it's a mixture of all of them. Don't you feel like sometimes in your Christian walk race, you're sprinting? At other times, it seems like it's slow and heavy going. So it's a mixture in this race. But with any race we run, we need a plan. At school earlier this year, our students were involved in a cross-country run. And they'd been doing a little bit of training for this cross-country run. Took them out every day and ran them round and round the school ground for a bit. But it was nothing like the real event, as they found out. And as it came closer, I would talk to them about how they should run. I said, when you get there and you start, I said, don't worry about everyone else that dashes off ahead. I said, don't worry about that, because you've got to be there at the end. I said, you need a plan. And some of them had the plan, but I didn't really know how they were going to go on the day. But the day came around, and the grade 3 and 4s, my level, they were out there running, and they were running against, I suppose there's 5 other schools, and it's like we're in the big, you know, in the big ocean with those schools, because we're kind of small. But then I really wasn't sure how they were going to go. So off they go, and they're running around this circular track, and we would cross from, I would with some of the students, we'd cross from one side to the other just to see how they were going. You know, we'd go over to that side and see them coming down there, and we'd go over to the other side. And it was coming around, I think it was to the final lap, and we crossed over and we're looking down here. And around the corner comes this boy in yellow, because that's our school colour. And I looked at it and it was Kyle. I thought, man, look at that. And 1, 2, 3, he's coming in third place. I thought, oh, this is really good. So I go over to the other side and he came in, and he came in fourth, which is a really fantastic effort. He gave all he had. In fact, he got to the finish line and he fell over the line. And I went over to him, I said, Kyle, you need to pick yourself up and you need to go over to that table. So he crawled off to the table. It was a sight. I tried to get a photo of it, but I was just too excited. But anyway, he gets to the table and he grabs the leg of the table. He pulls himself up and he's drooling a little bit there. But he finished the race. And the reason he finished the race is because he had a plan. All right? And I thought I'd worded him up. But later on, I said, how's it going? He said, yeah. He said, my dad's been talking to me. I said, oh, yeah, what did he say? I didn't know Ken had done a little bit of running, and he said, he told me, that was basically what I said, but he wasn't following my plan. He was following his father's plan. And that's a good thing, to follow our father's plan. And who we follow is important. In verse 1 here, of this chapter, we're told, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. All right? The witnesses that it's referring to go back in the previous chapter, and you would know that this chapter contains what is known as the heroes of the faith. All right? And if you would go back in chapter 11, there, and they're listed in verses 4 to 40. And there's about 17 names and some more that are not named, all right? But you go through, and we won't read them all, but such ones as Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, really well known to those of us and that know a little bit about Scripture. They're names that are familiar to us. And these are the ones that they ran in the same race that we're in. Yes, it was a long time ago, but they ran in the same race. These ones are listed here because they ran a patient race. Okay? They had a plan. They faced issues like we do. And they were ordinary men and women. And they're listed there for us to see. Now, when it says in verse 1 of chapter 12, that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, it's not like those people are standing somewhere in some grandstand and they're watching us, cheering us on. Okay? That's not what the Bible really tells us they're doing, but there's a deeper meaning to the word witness. Okay? And the witness we're talking about here not only sees, but they testify. All right? So these people leave us a testimony to encourage us in our Christian walk. And because we have such a testimony, we can be encouraged as we run our race. So the question is not, do they see and hear us, but rather, do we see and hear them? Do we see what they have left for us? And you know, all those people in there, they didn't live their lives just to live a testimony. To leave a good testimony. They simply lived out what God called them to do. Nothing much has changed. God still calls us to live our lives just how He wants us to. So they leave us a great testimony of the faith. And I want to focus on two of them tonight. And in chapter 11 and verse 23, you'll find out who they are. And they don't even rate a mention of their name. And if you're not careful as you read it through, you can skip over and you think that's someone else. In fact, I noticed when I was looking at this, I must have gone through at some stage and underlined all the names of the people. And when I got to verse 23, I put a line under Moses. But when I had another look at it, I realized that that's not the people that I should have underlined in that. Verse 23 reads, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. So yeah, Moses gets a mention in the next verse, but here it's referring to Moses' parents. Does anyone know their names? Amram and Jochebed. A lot of people don't know them. They're obscure, they don't really know who they are. If we go back now to Exodus chapter 2, that's where we'll pick up the story about Moses' parents. And during this time, there were dark times for the children of Israel because the Egyptians were worried about them. They were really worried about them. But if we go back in history a little bit further and we remember how Joseph was sold into slavery and taken down to Egypt. And at the time to Joseph,
That was a pretty demoralizing thing to have happen for a young man. But he realized while he was there that he was there for a purpose, so he could save his people. And I think it's wonderful when you look at how God took them down into Egypt. Because when they were not in Egypt, they started marrying people they shouldn't marry. God had told them not to marry all the Ites, whichever ones they were. But God had said you not to marry those. But they started to marry them. God had a plan. Off they went to Egypt. Did they marry any Egyptians? We know Joseph did. But do we know if they married any others? The Egyptians detested them. The Egyptians, for a start, didn't like people with hair. I can appreciate that. And the Israelites, they were kind of a hairy people, you know, beards and hair and all that. And they also were herdsmen. And to the Egyptians, that was so lowly. God put them down there to protect the children of Israel. So they weren't going to intermarry, probably even if they wanted to, because the Egyptians, you know, they were disgusted by them. But here they are, God's got them down in Egypt, and everything seems to be going quite well. They've been given their own special part of the country, maybe because that's where they kept the animals, and the Egyptians, you know, wanted them to stay in that neighbourhood and not in their own. But they started to multiply. They got bigger and bigger and bigger until it became a problem to the Egyptians. There were so many of them, and a new pharaoh came along that didn't know Joseph, and he got worried. And you know how the story goes? Things got worse until finally Pharaoh came up with his plan of killing all the boys that are born. All right? So that's where we see Amram and Jochebed. During that troubled time, they had the faith to get married and they had the faith to have children. And what I want us to learn this evening is something about the faith of Amram and Jochebed as it applies to parents. But also, it's not just for parents. So if you're not a parent, or you might be thinking, well, I'm a grandparent now, so that's, I've done my bit. But it does apply to grandparents as well. Because, you know, sometimes we as parents, because I'm not a grandparent yet, but we as parents, you know, sometimes we don't really listen to anyone else tell us there's a problem unless it's our parents. So you as grandparents can have a lot of influence, all right? So it's for you as well. And there's also aunts and uncles and older brothers and sisters, all right, that can learn from the faith of these parents, of Amram and Jochebed. Now, Moses came along, as we said, when things were pretty tough. It didn't work out that Pharaoh's first plan, Plan A, didn't work because the midwives didn't play the game as he wanted it played. So he had to come up with another idea, and so he did. And he came up with the idea that that when the baby was born, they would just throw them into the river, into the River Nile. Could you imagine having a baby boy born and that's how it went on? All right? Imagine, I'll pick on Ian's Pam here. Imagine if Pam had a baby boy and we're in that situation. Okay? To say the least, you wouldn't be very relaxed. You'd want to come up with something so you could save your child. It would be a natural thing. So the future looked cruel and bleak. But we're told in Hebrews 11 that they acted in faith. So here's a slave couple. They're briefly mentioned and then they fade away. But they do deserve some investigation by us. Because they're the parents of not just Moses. They're the parents of Aaron and Miriam. Both of them older. And they were, all three of them, were leaders in Israel. So, you know, these parents, they must have had something together. They must have had something that they'd worked out did work to raise three leaders like they did. So the first thing they did was that they hid Moses by faith. Let's read in chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Okay, so when she sees he's a goodly child, and not really sure what that meant, he's a goodly child, he's a proper child. So much like when she saw him, she was going to hide him. Right? She was going to hide him in faith. You know, they didn't despair. And we need not despair if our trust is in God. If our trust is in God, then we'll take to heart Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So they hid the child for the first 3 months. We can see in verse 2 there that they didn't do what the king said. They were not afraid of the king's command. They were not afraid of whatever was happening in the world. They trusted in God. And so here we have two people with the right priorities. And we as parents can learn from that we need the right priorities. Even though the world is telling us one thing, if God is telling us something else, we need to follow him. We need not to be afraid of the king's command. Their faith produced courage, so they prepared to move forward. Do we have that faith, that same faith that produces that kind of courage? Or do we have the courage to maintain a clear testimony, not just before the world, but before our children? That's a challenge. Can we do what is right in spite of the intense pressure to follow the crowd? Joshua 23:6, we read, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside, therefore to the right hand or to the left." So Amram and Jochebed, they were courageous in their faith. Next thing we see is that they took an ark. And I must say, as we read through here in chapter 2, it appears that Jochebed is doing everything. But I was thankful that when we're in Hebrews, it says that Moses' parents acted in faith. So from that we know Amram was involved in this as well. Although Jochebed was doing it, it appears most of the work. Verse 3, "And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes." So her courageous faith wasn't blind. And ours should not be also. And we should consider the options. As we raise our children, there's a lot of options. All right? And it's hard to say which one's right for everyone, but there are a lot of options. And we need to consider them just like Amram and Jochebed did. Now, we don't know what their options were. Okay, we're not told how they were thinking and which ideas they had, but they did have a plan. So Jochebed gets the ark, and it must have taken us some time to make. So it doesn't appear like it was just one morning she thought, "I'll make one of those and pop the baby in and away we go." She must have realised as the baby's growing older when they're hiding it that this is not going to go on forever. Right? So she was considering all this, and so she was planning. So she took the ark in verse 3, "And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." Flags, bulrushes. Okay, so she puts it there. She did it to protect her child. All right, so she didn't just push it out there. She put it in the bulrushes at the edge of the river. Okay. So, you know, from that we can see that we need to be careful how we position our children. And we need to be careful that we position them in the best possible place so that God can bless them and have them succeed. And again, it may not be the same for each of us. All right? Amran put her baby, sorry, Jochebed put her baby right near the river's edge. Okay? Might have been different for someone else. The plan, if it was a plan, worked. The king's daughter came and fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Now, we don't know how much of a plan it was. We can suspect that she's thought through this. We're not told that she's thought this and this and this, but she just did that, and she had the faith to trust in God. And I think the role of his sister, all right, we believe it was Miriam, but the role of his sister was important. And if you're an older brother or a sister, your role in your family is important as well. Could you imagine if his sister had said, "I can't do that. What would my friends think? What would my neighbours think? You've asked me to go and stand down there by the river and watch this, and what would they think?" That's not what she did at all. She was obedient to what her parents asked her to do. Look at the question. You marvel at the question that she asked when the princess saw the baby. How disarming the question. Verse 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" So the question, it assumed compassion. And it assumed that the child would be allowed to live. And it suggested who would be best to care for the child. We don't know if the sister thought of the questions herself or whether her mother planned it and said, "This is when the princess comes, this is what you should say." We don't know. We're not told. But quickly, Jochebed came upon the scene. Because Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. So here we have, you might say, is the first record of a family payment being made here in Egypt and without a means test. Imagine that. Could you plan anything better? If she did plan it, if Jochebed had this planned out, she couldn't have planned that part, that she would get paid for raising her children. God had it worked out. Amran and Jochebed, they had to trust God. They had to have faith. And then God took care of the rest. So Amran and Jochebed, they took the child back into their home and they raised the child for somewhere between 3 and 6 years. The Israelites weaned their children. Not some people say it's 3 years, some people it's 6 years. Whatever it was. And we can be sure that they were careful as to how they taught that child. Could you imagine if you have a child and you know that when they are 3 or 6, that they're going to go and live in the palace? You would be so careful as to what you taught your children. But the record proves the success. The biblical record proves the success because Moses never really identified with Egypt. If you have a look in verse 11, we read, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren. He turned back to his brethren. All right? He still had that loyalty to his people. So, apparently God kept alive in him the truths that his parents taught him just for that short time. Just for that short time. Let's have a look at how the key to their faith, the key to Amram and Jochebed's faith. One, it was well placed. The faith they had, it was placed in God. And it was well balanced. They could see that when they hid him when he was little, that wouldn't work forever. So they thought it through and they came up with another plan. You know, God calls us to have courageous faith, not reckless faith, because reckless faith isn't faith at all. It's presumption. And you can see that in Amram and Jochebed. They must have planned because they had the child. They had to do something else. They would have looked at the options, and the option was to put him in the river. People with true faith trust God to give them wisdom through his word and his leading, to think of the plan and then trust God for the rest. Okay, so we see Amram and Jochebed, they did their part. You might say they had common sense and they used it, following God's wisdom, but there was a time when they had to trust God. There was nothing else they could do. And they got to that. In other words, wisdom does not contradict faith. It complements it. That's why we have this given to us. That's why God has given us his word. Not just as parents, but as Christians in our daily walk. He's given us this to read and to study, to understand his will, to understand his commands to us, and he expects us to follow it. Okay? And if there's something in our lives that, you know, you think, well, I can't see the answer in God's word for it. It'd be hard to know what that may be. But then we trust God. God says to do this, this, and this. We follow his word. We are obedient to it. And we trust him. And then he will bring us through. And, you know, even though we've considered faith that requires a plan, we don't want to give the idea that that's all it is, faith. All right? It's a bit like Kyle when he was running his race. He had a good plan. All right, he had a good plan. But there was something else I didn't tell you. Kyle, in the morning, he came to school and he came up and he said, I've got a verse. I said, all right, what's that? And he showed it. He had it written on a piece of paper. Philippians 4:13. Can anyone tell me what it is? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, I don't know if Mum or Dad gave it to him or whether he's shaking the head, so Kyle got the verse himself. And he had that stuck up at his desk there. All right? So he had a plan, but he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to give him the strength to run the race. Amram and Jochebed, they put a lot of effort in and they made great sacrifice in order to save their son's life. But they trusted in God. That's what made it all work. That's what gave their faith the power. So the power of this testimony that we see in Amram and Jochebed is that God used an obscure family. Isn't it interesting? God loves to do that. Even the very fact that he had the children of Israel and the Lord Jesus Christ was born into a family of the children of Israel. I mean, you and I wouldn't plan it. No one else would plan it. This obscure little nation that no one likes, right, pretty much, back then. But that was God's plan. He wanted that obscure nation so that he would be glorified. No one could say that they were chosen because they were a great nation. They were chosen because they were so powerful, humanly speaking. But God used an obscure family. They acted in simple faith to produce a great man for God. God multiplied their best efforts to his own glory. Can we as parents take comfort in this? Not just as parents, but can we as Christians take comfort in the fact that God can multiply our best efforts to his glory? Dare we expect God to bless our feeble efforts and often our fumbling efforts as we raise our children? Dare we believe that God still wants and is waiting for parents to exercise faith so that he can work his will in our children? Yes. That's why Hebrews 11 is there. Well, it's one reason why Hebrews 11 is there. It's a testimony to the fact that God takes ordinary people, brings them to faith, and then uses them to his glory, just like Amram and Jochebed. It should be our desire that our faith in God will produce that same hope, produce that same courage that it produced in them. So we can learn a lot from those cloud of witnesses. We've just taken two of the more less known ones, but we can learn a lot from the cloud of witnesses. We can rejoice in the victories that they have, the example they set for us. But you know, we rejoice in their victories, but you know, they all fail. When you read through that list, you know, some things stand out about how they failed. This one failed, and that one failed, and that one failed, and that one failed. And that gives me great courage. That gives me great comfort to know that they failed. Because I know I fail. Many times I fail. None of them were perfect. There is none righteous. No, not one. We can learn from them and be inspired, but we need more than that. We need more than that. We need more than just a good example. You know, there's good examples in the world today of all sorts of things. But to run the race that we're in, we need more than that. When we look unto Jesus, it's totally different. Not only did he offer the perfect witness, he never sinned. Perfect. Lived a perfect life. But he's able to make us what he calls us to be. After leading us through the lives of the heroes in chapter 11, God wants us to focus on the true and perfect one. If we hope to run the race that is set before us, we need more than a good example. Okay? We must obtain grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. If we go back over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 and 16. We read, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So we don't just have that good example. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go to him and we can find grace in our time of need. How often is our time of need? 24/7? That's our time of need. Not just when things get tough, okay? But our time of need is all the time. Aren't you so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of our faith? He's not just the source of our faith, he's the security of our faith. He's the strength of our faith. He's the sustainer of our faith. Pastor Mitchell's been going through Hebrews, and how many times have you heard him talk about that there was the better way, describing all these things that we have there, but then look to Christ? Well, that's how we are here. We have these examples, but the power that we need to live the lives that Christ wants us to live comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. and the grace that he gives to us. So we can learn a lot from those heroes, but let's turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's there that we find the strength that we need. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we do thank you that we can come to you in our time of need. Lord, we do thank you for the many examples of the way that these heroes of the faith have lived, Lord, and how they trusted you. And Lord God, how they got up again when they fell. And Lord, as we fall, Father God, give us the strength to get back again. Lord, to go on for you. Lord God, to look to you. Thank you that we can come to that throne. And Lord, you give us mercy. Father God, you give us the grace that we need in our day-to-day lives. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to do this. Help us, Lord God, to be conscious of that. Lord, help us not to rely on our own strength, but Lord, that we would go forward in you. For we ask in Jesus' name.